Hello and welcome to the second episode of Leaf and Let Die.
Yay!
I'm your host, Christopher Garcia, the other tea podcast, of course. Today we'll be drinking Lipton, America's favorite tea, 100% natural black tea, which I will now start steeping.
Plum.
Now,
I'm trying to remember when I died, because I can tell.
All right, and as is tradition, we're going to let it steep and have a secondary discussion on the second side. So let's start actually with some literature today. I was recently reading a book.
Oh my God!
Say it as it's so.
Yes, and I would like to ask, how many of you have read books before? And let's introduce themselves by having people say what book they most recently read. Mo.
Oh my gosh, it's a technical manual.
Mo Starkey has read a technical manual. What for?
For Photoshop 3. Because I have an older version. Yes, 3. 3. I can't afford,
I can't afford
6,
it,
7,
it
or whatever Infinity one did.
I assumed that they'd started at 10.
Excellent. And?
Arthur.
Excellent. Your last book?
My last book is, what is that? What am I reading? Hold on. An Unexpected Parody by Valerie Estelle Frankel.
And she's here at this convention. We're at WesterCon, by the way. I should have mentioned that. And JC.
Yes.
What was your last book?
I'm actually in the middle of reading Man of Steel right now.
Man of Steel, the novelization.
Yes.
Yes. Excellent-ish. Steven.
Glasshouse, Charlie Strauss.
Oh, good choice. Charlie Strauss, of course, an author who is English.
Scottish. Scottish.
No, Scotland's part of England. Next,
ooh,
Bob.
Or now.
Sean Connery would be good.
Lost Bizet Masters Bajold, the one that's nominated for Hugo.
Four Patrols, Seven Lions.
Yes, thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. And Brad?
Well, the last book I finished or the book I'm reading now?
How about the book you're reading now?
Okay. The Time Ship, a chrononautical Journey by Enrique Gaspar, which predates H.G. Wells's Time Machine by about 20 years.
Ooh.
It's translated from the Spanish to the English.
Does it lose something?
And yes, it loses. There's not much Spanish left in here.
Yeah.
But what's interesting is that how continental science fiction is more whimsical and doesn't take itself seriously as the Anglo-Saxon extrapolative science.
Oh.
Hey, you're using big words. Okay, we're having tea.
Okay, basically, these guys are more subtle than those guys.
Oh, okay.
Oh, fair enough.
All right, very good.
And of course, Two Buck Chuck, what was the last book you read?
Well, sir, suggested to me by the Literary Guild of Upper Candor, I recently consumed one All-Star Superman as penned by one Grant Morrison and illustrated by the inestimable Mr. Frank Quitely.
Oh, yes, quite.
Ooh.
All right, now we check the tea to make sure it's perfect.
Let's just clarify. That's a comic.
That's a comic book.
So just because illustrations happen to be involved in the endeavor does not bring it down any on the class scale.
Are you kidding me? Comics are the height of literature.
The very pinnacle. The very pinnacle.
Okay, people. Comic books are not literature. Because I want to waste my life not on literature, as some people have. Brad?
Oh, I did worse than he did. My last book is Last and First Men by Olaf Stapleton.
Oh, wow. Nice.
Wow. It took me 30 or 40 years to get around to reading it, but I finally did.
I was going to say, you haven't read a book in 30 or 40
years. No, but I've been meaning to read this one.
Did you read The Star Maker first?
No.
Read it now. Okay, because you know the great scope of Last and First Men?
That billion years, yeah.
Okay, that will be a footnote in Star Maker.
I just want to say we're not talking about tea anymore.
No, but this is all tea. This is
no, definitely read it, because this would be the perfect time to read it after reading Last and First.
Olaf Stapleton is English. All English drink tea. Therefore, talking about Olaf Stapleton is talking about tea. I can't believe I have to tell you these things, Chuck.
Jesus Christ.
Okay, so now it's time to pour the Lipton, America's favorite tea, 100% natural black tea.
Now, is that brisk tea?
After a fashion, yes.
I've never seen slow tea.
So the first cup.
So if I recall correctly, you kind of gasped a little when Julie here mentioned Lipton tea yesterday.
That's true. So here we go. We're passing out the tea.
This is tea that's bad enough for people who drink lager beer.
This smells exactly the same as the Earl Grey we had
yesterday. As the Earl Grey that we had yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is what this is.
So you poured Earl Grey yesterday?
Yes.
This is a podcast solely designed to drive me insane.
All right.
There you go. Drive
once you have this, I already
have one. Okay.
Do you have something against tea?
Against tea? No.
No. Against good tea, apparently, yes. Oh, Snape. All right,
oh,
yes.
Wow.
So, here we go.
Smells like art supplies.
Everyone, smell your tea.
I was going to say.
Mm.
This smells like art supplies.
I can smell the styrofoam.
Like an eraser.
Yes.
It smells like one of those rubber erasers. That's what it smells
I'm
like.
I'm thinking it's not quite eraser. It's more...
Mine's odorless.
It's got a perky linseed oil finish.
You can smell the polymers coming off the styrofoam.
Yeah.
Here,
pass it to Mom. All right, Brad, what's your first impression of the smell of the tea?
It smells like Earl Grey.
Excellent. It smells like Earl Grey.
Yeah. He's been dead
for a long time.
He doesn't smell so good anymore.
Yeah. Well. Okay. JC, what about you?
It smells like Jean-Luc Picard's office.
Yeah.
Excellent. All right. Now, everyone, take a sip.
It's hot. Mm.
Ooh, ooh. It tastes like
taste the brown rainbow.
Oh, taste the brown rainbow. That's totally the title for this episode.
Oh, my God.
This is awful.
I am originally from Cleveland, Ohio, where the Cuyahoga River catches fire.
Yeah. No, this is what comes out of the tap water.
This makes me miss the Cuyahoga River.
I mean, literally, I will drink anything, as I have proven on many times. I won't drink this again, except for science, which this is.
Science!
It does taste like the water in my fishbowl, and I don't want to drink that again.
Again!
What was the first time you drank water in your fishbowl?
Don't you know that's how you end any kind of joke or punchline? It's like, you know, said, hey, don't do that, they'll arrest you. And you're supposed to reply again. So it always makes it a little funnier.
I grew up growing this. This tastes like home.
It is.
In fact, we took your home, ground it up.
It is 1902, and I am returned to a certain opium den in Lower Kowloon. And Susie Moon has asked me, "Sir, may I refresh your tea?" And definitely, this was not it.
a little tip, you never left that opium den.
Yesterday's review, I gave it an absurd yet flaccid. This is just crap.
All right, and now...
What I find truly depressing is my grandfather drank at least one cup of this a day until the day he died
at
age 45. 85.
Wow.
He would have lived till 90.
All right, now it is time for the portion of the show we call Darjeelings Are Forever, in which we discuss what tea a James Bond villain would drink.
Hmm.
And today's James Bond villain is...
Darjeeling?
No. But that is a good answer. For any of them, really.
Jaws.
Green.
Solitaire.
Oh.
She's not really a villain, but she could be. So we're going to start with Chuck.
I think Solitaire would drink Long Island iced teas.
Oh, a off to left field with us. Well done, old boy.
You realize
Welcome.
That Long Island iced tea contains nothing that is actually tea.
What's more important is that Solitaire contains nothing that is Two Buck Chuck.
Brad, what's your thought?
Probably the tea that has no tea in it.
Long Island iced tea. We have two of those there.
No, the hot water.
Oh, just the hot water.
Just the hot water.
Yes. Bob?
I'll go with Long Island iced tea.
Very good.
That is the wiser choice.
Maybe hot Long Island iced tea.
Lapsang Souchong, because it's smoking.
I like where you went there, because there are two meanings of smoking. JC.
I think she's going to go with a sun tea, because I'm sure there's a bright side to her.
Aww.
Oh. Which has nothing to do with Two Buck
Chuck. Yes. Milt.
What's this? Another type of tea?
anything other than this.
Yes. Yeah.
There is a certain tea milk that is now legal in Colorado.
Oh, that's true.
Yes.
Yes.
Actually, and I was going to go with a certain Caribbean herbal tea.
Ah, yes. Yes.
She would prepare a silver nightshade tea for other people to drink.
Oh. Although, I'm sorry, all of you got it wrong. The correct answer is lemon lift. That is always the correct answer. I'm surprised you haven't caught on to that. Lemon lift is from Compton Contact.
We'll remember for episode 3.
We'll remember for episode 3, yes.
Oddly, that's the tea that Susie Moon tried to serve at the opium den in Lower Column.
Well, excellent. So now the second episode of Leaf and Let Die is now around. The pregnant pause was on accident.
Leaf and Let Die.
But now let's remember something about the tea that we're drinking. Millions of people have died to procure tea rights over the years.
Mm-hmm.
The American Revolution was founded by people who wanted to drink tea but didn't want to pay taxes.
So
we call them the Democrats.
Or the smokers.
I just noticed, you know, your grasp of, even when trying to be funny, your grasp of history is just,
it's remarkably good. It's so solid.
it's like,
loose.
You know, the whole Boston Tea Party was because the British actually removed the taxes. And what happened was that Samuel Adams and all our founding fathers who had money invested in the black market had to dump the tea so they could still sell their tea.
And see, that theory there is why America is going down the wrong track. What really happened was that tea itself was being used to poison all the dolphins that were showing up in the harbor. And this was just them getting caught doing it. Because dolphins, you might not know this, every single one of them, British spies.
No, actually the Revolutionary War was an accident. They were trying to start a war between the British and the Indians by dressing up as Indians to get on the TV.
Oh my God!
But the British found out the disguise
mm-hmm.
and attacked the Americans instead of the Indians like they were supposed to.
I get it. You know why that is? Because the Indians at that point, I believe they were, at that point, Massapequit? I can't remember what the tribe nearest to Boston.
I think what they were.
Yeah.
Yeah, by that point, in that area, they hadn't opened their casinos yet.
Yeah.
So, you know.
You know, Bradford's right. Your history is about as loose as a two-buck whore.
But I want you to know Bob's plan came directly from the office of George III when he was high lost in porphyria and pissing bright blue, right?
Yeah. So, absolutely.
You got it all wrong. The Boston Tea Party, as we all know, was a Masonic conspiracy.
Well, yes, but everything a Masonic conspiracy. The following exceptions: the Red Sox winning the World Series in 2003, 4?
Yeah.
Whatever that one was. You know why that happened? Moon men.
Oh.
That's why there was the eclipse.
You know, you just reminded me. I think this is where this tea came from. The actual harbor.
Oh, that's why it has that.
But it's no any Masonic plot comes straight out of the Masonic branch office in Mountain View, California.
Yeah.
I don't trust those bastards.
You know what? That's right. I was actually getting a little bit of sea urchin on the finish.
There
so,
you go. Yeah.
All right. Well, this has been the second episode of Leaf and Let Die. I'm Chris Garcia.
I'm Maureen.
I'm Arthur.
Mel.
JC Arco.
Stephen Nelson of the Tea Rage Podcast.
Bob.
Brad.
Two Buck Chuck of the Nirvana Podcast, and I double dollar guarantee this tea is shit.
And that is the episode.
Yay!
Where's the damn cursor?